It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. We have a great show for you this week. I am joined, not as always, by Gemma Kaneko. She is off on assignment, on a rigorous assignment for us, for our Cut 4 purposes. But instead, I have Ian Kay with me and with us.
Hi, guys.
And Ben Kossman.
How you doing?
How are you guys today?
Pretty well.
Yeah. Good. That's good. I'm glad to hear it. The weather is really nice out, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. We do these meteorological check-ins at the beginning of the episode in honor of Mike Trout, who, as we know, is a fan of the weather. But we have a lot coming up on this show. We're going to talk a lot about some other sports and maybe how they connect with baseball. We're going to look at which rules from outside baseball we want to see maybe implemented in baseball and vice versa. But first, before we get to all of that, Manchester City, international soccer team, Premier League champions 2 years ago, or not 2 years ago, last year in the Premier League, and then 2 years before that. They were visiting North America for some postseason friendlies, and they were playing Toronto FC up in Toronto in Canada. And one of the things they were doing while they were in Toronto is they hung out and met the Blue Jays, specifically Jose Bautista, who they, of course, called Jose Bautista, as though he was Chelsea manager Jose Mourinho. But they all sort of had a good time, and you got to see, like, Joe Hart take some swings in the batting cage. Ian, I know you're a soccer fan.
I am.
Were you excited to see this crossover of two of your interests, soccer and baseball?
Yeah. You know, I always like to see the crossover. We've seen a few soccer players take some BP. Falcao did it a year ago, and also I think Ronaldo before that.
That's true.
Always cool. I think, you know, Jose Bautista, Joey Bats, great nickname. We don't have a ton. But if the special one, maybe for him, you don't get
that's
that going.
That's good. That's really good. We definitely need to get that going. I feel bad because I actually did our Cut 4 post, you can see, at MLB.com/Cut 4, about Falcao when he did batting practice with, I think it was the Marlins or whoever. And I referred to him as a world-class player, so I may have jinxed him on that. I feel bad. Apologies to Falcao. But I was really excited to see them come over because I, too, am a fan of soccer, of the beautiful game.
Football,
not round kicky ball, I think, which most Americans call it. I think that's right.
Yeah. I've heard they call it footy in Britain.
Yes.
Is that true?
Footy. There's some footy. That is true.
A good name. I like that.
Yeah, they do a lot of good nicknames over there. But all of this got us thinking and wondering. Joe Hart's sort of not spectacular swings in the cage. We've seen Ronaldo not have great swings in the cage. What other, not necessarily soccer players, but what other athletes, professional athletes, would you want to see maybe take some swings in the cage, maybe actually play a real game of baseball? So I certainly have a few that leapt to mind for me, but Ben, I want to ask you first. Who do you think of any sport that isn't baseball do you want to see take a shot on the diamond?
I'm going to go maybe with an obvious one. I'm going to go with LeBron James.
Okay.
Just because when I think sort of purest athlete in my mind across all sports, LeBron is one of the first to come up. Mm-hmm. I think his athleticism could transfer to pretty much anything he wants to do. I'd like to see him in football play tight end. I think he'd be a great tight end.
Yeah.
But in baseball, I'd like to see him probably, I think I'd prefer him in the field. I think pitching would limit him. I'd like to see him at bat, and I think I'd like to see him in, center field.
Center field?
Yeah.
So you think he's got the range?
I do. I think he has the range. I mean, he's constantly running up and down a court for however many minutes.
Yeah.
I think he can cover center.
See, I want to see him at first base. I had him on my list because, again, same reason.
Yeah.
Like, just pure athlete, you're going to be tough to top LeBron. And I feel like you want him at, like, first base or DH so he can just hit the gym every day and just totally Hulk out and not worry about, like, trying to stay quick or trying to any of that. He can just focus on power and just mash. That is what I would like to see from LeBron.
That's fair. I think he can master both.
That's true. Maybe he can. I mean, he can do pretty much everything in basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ian, do you have thoughts on LeBron?
Yeah, I'd be curious. I mean, that's probably something we could look up, but what does he weigh now? Like 260, 270? I mean,
less, because I think he dropped some weight when he went to Cleveland.
Yeah. Oh, right. Didn't he go paleo?
Yeah. Yes, he did.
But he's still just overall.
I think he moved to Brooklyn first and then went to Cleveland.
It's a prerequisite. Yeah. And then, of course, told everyone all about it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, guys. Hey, what's up? Oh, Mike Miller. Hey, did you hear about this awesome paleo diet?
But he would, be just one of the sheer biggest baseball players, especially for a hitter. You know, some pitchers are pretty big, but LeBron on the field would be sort of not typical baseball player build.
That's true. I think another benefit of him playing baseball is he could wear the hat. And yeah. So that would maybe cover some of the recession that might be happening on the top of his head.
Is there a recession? I couldn't tell because of the headband.
Because he's in the new movie coming out.
Yeah,
he is. They maybe digitally brought his hairline forward?
Well, there's been a lot of like internet trutherism over the LeBron hairline, and so there's been some discussion and some photo evidence and side-by-sides and Microsoft Paint happening. So it's unclear where exactly it stands now. I think for the most part, when you watch it on the basketball floor, it seems about where it's been the past year. So there may be some digital things happening here or there. It's not entirely clear.
Wade Rooney will be tuning in very closely to the upcoming NBA Finals.
That is true. For those of you who are not footy fans, Wayne Rooney is striker for, he's an attacker for Manchester United.
Sometimes a central midfielder, though.
Sometimes a central midfielder. He does a lot for them. It's really, he's certainly the pride and joy of Manchester United. And he, rumored or was confirmed to have received hair transplants.
I don't know if he ever confirmed it.
Okay, I see. I understand where we're at. All right. Ian, do you have an athlete you want to see play baseball?
Yeah, I actually kind of went to the individual sports. Tennis and golf, both of them, I think, have some similarities. Mm-hmm. At least the hitting aspect of baseball, where it's just pure coordination, I think, in golf, especially. Mm-hmm. It's repetition and coordination, and I think that in baseball, in a lot of cases, every hitter who reaches even the high minors is like supremely talented and athletic in a way, but it really may be that coordination that kind of brings you to the next level. Mm-hmm. So, a Djokovic or a Bubba Watson or, even Rory kind of would like to see if they really took the time to focus on baseball, if they'd have the natural coordination, to make it in the majors.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Novak pitch. For some reason, his long frame just makes me want to see him on the mound.
He is the character of like a closer.
Yeah,
like that's definitely his personality. He's sort of out there and kind of funky. But it's funny you said the golf thing, because in that video with Manchester City, Bautista was actually talking about how guys who golf traditionally tend to be a little bit better, a little bit more coordinated when it comes to the baseball swing. So I think that's a good place to go to find our next talent.
Yeah, I mean, certainly you hear about Smoltz and Glavin are guys you always hear about, like, obsessive about golf. And I think even Smoltz, was he trying to play professionally now that he's retired?
I think so, yeah.
I think he was doing that. Mm-hmm. But I think there have also been, the names escape me at the moment, but I think there were a couple guys who played golf and it messed with their swings at some point.
It's possible.
So I don't know, maybe if you don't do it as often.
Yeah, I feel like the other way around hurts, too, where if you go from golf to baseball, it's better than going from baseball to golf. I know, because I've golfed before a few times, and I'm terrible at it. But the way that the grip is, it's different from a grip of a baseball bat. Right. And so if you habitually are doing the one over and over and over again, I think it's tougher to switch back. But I don't know.
Makes sense.
Who would you like to see, Dakota?
Well, I had a few. I had LeBron. So that's a good one. And then honorable mention to Usain Bolt, who I think we would all like to see on the base paths. And Michael Phelps, also, if he could maybe swim between the bases, I think that's another good honorable mention. I think he'd like that. But my
that
number
would be
one,
a twist.
That would be quite the twist. That might be some of those rule changes we're talking about later. We'll flood the field, maybe during a rain delay. But number one for me, I'm going to stick in the world of soccer, but we're gonna move to a different type of soccer, a different league. We're going to switch to women's soccer. Mm. And I'm going to talk about Sydney Leroux, attacker for the U.S. women's national team. She actually, there was a profile of her recently written on SB Nation, and they discussed the fact that she, when she grew up, when she was a little kid, wanted to be a baseball player. She played softball, and I think her parents both played softball and baseball or something like that. They weren't really soccer players. And she eventually went to soccer and obviously was a success in that. I want to see her have a chance to actually play baseball. I think that she's a fantastic athlete, super competitive, the exact kind of player who we like around here. And that's why I think she would be an awesome baseball player to see. And the U.S. Women's National Team. Got to have a shout out for them anyway, because they're about to go off to the World Cup, the Women's World Cup. We need to show our support as good Americans.
It's true.
Yeah. I think that the soccer crossover is interesting because there aren't really many elements of soccer that overlap with baseball in terms of the skills.
It's true.
But in terms of like the typical stature of a soccer player, you know, there is some crossover there. Like a basketball player, you have to be taller in a lot of cases. Football player, you have to be so big. Mm-hmm. But soccer, you know, a lot of them probably have a body type that could translate to baseball.
That's definitely true.
Do you think goalies would be better at catcher to sort of block balls that bounce up?
That could be.
That certainly could be a possibility. Although, again, with Joe Hart, that video did not make him seem like he was very adept at catching a baseball.
That was not an endorsement of Joe Hart's baseball abilities.
So maybe that wasn't a good inspiration for soccer players trying to make the crossover. But, yeah, I think that there is that crossover. I think the speed is beneficial. I think the flair obviously is beneficial. Mm-hmm. They'll be able to celebrate a home run better than just about anybody. Because, yes. You know, you can sprint into home base and then slide on your knees, or home plate, slide on your knees across.
The knee slide. We haven't really seen the knee slide take hold in MLB.
It needs to. True. Or the Diego Costa jazz hands.
Yes.
Got to do a little bit of that. See, that's the thing. They would up the celebration game.
You see sometimes in the walk-off celebration, a guy's jersey will get ripped off for him. I don't think we've seen
that's
a baseball
true.
Player rip his own jersey off.
We have not seen that. What would be good is after the game, they could exchange jerseys between the best players on the teams.
That's a tradition that I think all sports should have, exchanging jerseys.
I agree. I think that would be really cool.
Also, if I was a professional athlete, I would want everyone's jersey. It's like the ultimate baseball card. Like, I have his actual jersey now.
Totally. And then there'd be all the storylines of, well, who should swap jerseys after the game.
Right, yes.
And that's storylines like that we all love. Those are the best things. But let's take a look at the flip side of the coin, which is which baseball players, and it doesn't have to be, they don't have to play soccer, they can play any other sport, but which current baseball players do you want to see tackle another sport? Ian, since you went second, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I was thinking about this, and I think for me, I'm not like a huge NBA fan, but I do really like watching basketball. I watch some of these playoffs, and I think there's like a sheer athleticism and physicality to that sport that is really pure in a way, and baseball players at times get kind of a bad rap for like not being athletes, which I think at this point is false. You have to be a great athlete to play baseball. So I'd be curious to see how some MLB players could cross over, especially position players. Pitchers these days especially are built, they're tall, a lot of them. There are fewer position players that are tall. So I was thinking kind of about some like outfielders, the faster guys who also have some height. Maybe a Dexter Fowler type who is, I think he's like 6'4", 6'5", but fast enough to play center field too. Jason Hayward definitely plays right, but he's a huge guy. He's probably 6'5", and built, not quite LeBron, but like he's built in that direction. I don't know what position, maybe like a small forward for him or something. But those kind of players, how they can do in the NBA.
I think that's smart. And what's fun about that is then you get that like speed aspect of it, which is so important nowadays for if you aren't 6 foot tall or 6 foot 10 in the NBA, you have to be fast.
Yeah.
Pace and space. NBA team would definitely be a pace and space operation.
Yeah. A lot of shooting.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that those are good options. Ben, what do you think?
I'm going to go to the individual sports. We're talking about tennis earlier. I really want to see Tim Lincecum's delivery as a tennis serve. That's what I want to see.
Oh, man. Yes, absolutely.
I think it'd be really unique. I think he'd have he'd throw off his opponent. So he'd have a half-second advantage. I think we'd see a lot of aces. Maybe a couple double faults, but I think
it'd be interesting. Yeah, he would fault a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, the foot fault.
Yeah.
That would be a tough thing for him to have to watch, especially because he slipped the other day.
Right.
So you can't do that in tennis. You got to really pay attention to that. But he's like, because he's so much just like
there's
weird
so much movement when he pitches.
Yeah.
I want to see it when he serves.
That would be great.
He also had that hair. It'd be great with, like, one of the tennis headbands.
Absolutely.
All, yeah, he does. It, yeah.
John McEnroe had similar hair?
Yep.
There's a lot of, like, tennis style, I feel like, that he could rock, for sure. The, like, Richie Tenenbaum look.
Absolutely.
Yeah, see, who's the best tennis player I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
For sure. But, no, I like the idea, too, because I think there'd be, like, some iconoclastic idea of him serving too, of people being like, oh, that's not how you're supposed to serve at a proper tennis match. That's always fun. And like him, picturing him at Wimbledon, be a good time.
And men's tennis is so serve dominated now that
it's true.
I think it's a thing that I read somewhere.
That's right.
That's true. Although the Americans have some strong servers and we're not a great tennis country right now.
So
yeah, alas. Obviously, honorable mention again to Yasiel Puig, who should play any sport purely for the entertainment aspect of it all. But also, he's, as we've seen on the internet, a gifted soccer player. And I'd love to see that. He was juggling the ball with Ronaldo when Ronaldo came to visit in, I think, 2013 it was. And so, obviously, he would be great at that. So, shouts to Yasiel Puig.
What position would you put Puig at?
Oh, he's clearly a forward. He's clearly like a striker.
You think so?
Yeah. What, do you disagree?
I could see him as like a Yaya Toure type, you know, dominating up and down the whole field.
Okay. Well, then we would need to make sure that we celebrate his birthday.
We should, yes. Get him a cake. Somebody order the cake now.
Also, I apologize if you're listening and you're not a soccer fan. You may...
Or participate.
Don't worry, we're going to stop with all the soccer in-jokes.
I apologize. If you don't get the Yaya Toure, you're missing out yourself, so...
It's true. The story there, Yaya Toure, who is a midfielder for Manchester City.
For now.
Last year, it was his birthday, and the team failed to buy him a birthday cake, and he was very upset with them and threatened to leave the team. So,
wow.
Yeah. Isn't that a crazy story? Did you not know that?
I did not know that. That's interesting.
See, that, soccer is crazy, and everyone is crazy. That's really the entertaining part of it, is that it is not like any sport you've ever seen.
I wonder if any MLB player has secretly demanded a trade at any point. Because of a birthday cake related incident?
That is a great question. If any MLB players are listening right now, please feel free to tweet at us at Cut4 with hashtag CutForecast and let us know if you've ever demanded a trade because your team's owner or management or whomever forgot to wish you happy birthday. That would be really great if you would pass that along. Me personally, though, so shouts to Yasiel Puig for soccer. Another shout, obviously, Billy Hamilton is an Olympic sprinter. I think we all want to see that.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Like a lifelong training. He could take down Usain Bolt, I believe. But above all else, I'm going to one of the best athletes in baseball for mine. Yes, I snuck in too. We're not going to talk about that. Giancarlo Stanton. Just totally super strong, super muscular. Pretty much any sport for him, I think, would be really great. Obviously, basketball, he would be super cool to watch, try to, like, back some guys down in the post. But I'm going to football. I'm going to the most athletic position on a football field, which is tight end.
Yeah.
Punter,
that's correct. As we saw with the Seahawks punter who was on American Ninja Warrior.
Well, he didn't really make a case for being the most athletic on the field on that clip.
Fair point. But Stanton as a tight end, that's what I would want to see. Because he's got just the strength to block like you would need to do. And he also has the smarts and the quickness to run routes. And as far as I know, he's got great hands, too. We've seen him play well out in the outfield. So that's my answer.
Tight end has a long history of drawing athletes from other sports.
That is true as well. And so it makes too much sense is really what I'm trying to say.
Let's not give him any ideas.
Yeah, Giancarlo, don't listen to this episode. I know you've made it to this far, but you need to go to that clinic from Eternal Sunshine and erase all of this.
Unless you have a birthday cake incident that we should know about.
Right.
To Ichiro didn't wish him a happy birthday.
Right.
Yeah, there was drama there. No, that was mine, Giancarlo, football
good
player.
That's a good one.
I want to add one more.
Okay.
I want to see a very specific situation. I want to see Bryce Harper in the pool against Michael Phelps.
Oh.
I think that'd be visually very interesting to watch. With Bryce's hair, I think he would. I think Bryce's will, like, or his competitive nature, going up against one of the best swimmers in the world, I think it'd be interesting. I think he'd do better than we think.
The hair would slow him down, though.
Yeah, but that's. I think that's
problem.
Part of the. That's
Imagine
what makes
the
it
hair,
interesting.
The hair flip with like the pool water,
right?
Enhanced.
That
know?
Is true. That'd be like out of a James Bond movie.
Yes,
that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
I think Harper probably one of the best athletes in baseball.
Definitely.
Yeah.
and certainly one of the most competitive, which
absolutely
helps when you're transitioning sports. And you know, and then another honorable mention. I didn't get to mention this one in players from other sports who want to see try baseball, but Michael Jordan now. 50-year-old Michael Jordan.
That's absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to the next topic, which is just as important as this topic in terms of things that we all think about on a day-to-day basis that we're finally taking time to address on the Cut Forecast. And that is, which rules from baseball do you think would greatly benefit other sports? And we are very helpful around here. We like trying to help out others. Obviously, baseball is really great, and everybody else wants to be as great as baseball. And so we think we're going to give those leagues and those sports an opportunity now to become more like baseball. And I'll start with one, because I never start, so I'll do it now. Why not?
You earned it, Dakota.
I earned it. Thank you, Ian. Ian is my boss, so it's good that he said that. No, but
in this room, you're the boss.
That's true. So my first one. We know in baseball, there's designated hitter, and then in the National League, pitcher has to hit. Now, obviously, designated hitter is a rule that you could apply to other sports, the idea of picking somebody to do one specific thing, but I'm going to go the other way, and I'm going to say what we should do is in the NFL, at least maybe the AFC or the NFC, it doesn't have to be both, no defensive players are allowed to play. All of the offensive players have to also play defense. Everyone is a two-way player. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that. I actually had that one written down.
Look at this. Great minds think alike.
Wow. What a cheater. Wrote down his answers.
Yeah, he copied from my... I see that. I know.
Well, the two-way player in college has made like a small comeback.
That is true.
Miles Jack, the guy at UCLA, playing linebacker and running back. Yeah, I mean, in high school, pretty much everyone plays two ways. I think... as long as you keep enough guys on the field that, you know, they could handle it endurance-wise, it'd be fun.
It would be super fun. Who doesn't want to see, like, Tom Brady try to block an offensive lineman or whatever?
Plus, like, every position has, you know, like, wide receivers and cornerbacks, like, you know, they match up. They're kind of similar players.
That is true. Except for quarterback.
Right. You'd have to... where would you put the quarterback? Where would he play?
That's the fun. It depends on the quarterback. So, like, a guy... I obviously am a Panthers fan. So Cam Newton obviously could play pretty much any position because, dude, is super athletic.
Right.
Whereas somebody like maybe Eli Manning might have some trouble.
I feel like if that was the case, if this rule existed, you would see such a priority on players like Cam Newton who could at least play passable defense. Like, wouldn't Eli Manning-type quarterback not even exist? Because even if he's a top quarterback, you know, Peyton Manning, like, that it just wouldn't be worth the risk. You'd score it on every time because you're essentially playing 10 on 11 on defense.
It's a good question. First of all, obviously the sabermetric folks would come up with like the actual percentages of which a passer becomes valuable enough to then warrant being a poor defender. But I think it would be like some NBA defensive schemes, or even sometimes you see it in baseball where you'll hide a bad defender on somebody. Right. So like you would have like the smart coaches would be like, oh, well, that guy can't catch, so we'll let Eli cover him or whoever it is. Not to be hard on Eli. He does have two rings. So
that he does. Never forget.
Never forget. But that would be my feeling, is that it would end up being like chess moves.
Yeah. I wonder if you see like creative things where you just put him at like defensive line and just say, we're not even going to pressure the quarterback. You know, we're just going to play cover D.
That would be awesome. Yeah. And then like 30 years down the line, then they'd be like, well, let's have a designated thrower. And then we'll come full circle.
Okay. Novel concept.
All right, Ian, what is your rule you would like to see exported from baseball?
You know, sort of similar to yours. I kind of like in baseball, you have the pinch hitter. A guy can come in and just take one at bat, just do this one thing, and then leave. So I was thinking about soccer, and I think, you know, I'd like to see a pinch hitter type to come in and take a set piece, that kind of thing. You know, there's certain players even now in soccer who, you know, are mediocre players but specialize in taking free kicks, you know, and that allows them to play the whole game. Mm-hmm. But if you, as a manager, could bring in one guy just to take one kick, you know, first of all, some of those guys could get really, really good at it, even better than they are now. And it's always cool to see, like, you know, an amazing goal off a set piece. But I think it'd be cool to bring a guy in, have him just make that one play and then leave.
That would be really cool.
Yeah. I mean, I would the same thing for basketball, taking foul shots.
Yes.
Yeah. It eliminates the whole hack a player, you just get one guy, hit all foul shots. Foul shots almost become an afterthought at that point.
That's true.
Because, you know, so many players are already now hitting, you know, what, 90%? Mm-hmm. So if you get a guy who's just doing that, he could probably hit every one, no problem.
I wonder if there's any thought that actually happening now that Haka, whoever, is such a big thing.
That's interesting.
There are a few, like, ways people have tried to, like, figure out how to mitigate it. One is, like, you get the choice of shooting free throws or taking the ball out of bounds or whatever
it is. Right.
But yeah, it's interesting. What I like about this idea is it's similar to the DH in that you basically tell somebody, this is all you're going to do all the time. So that's all you need to practice.
Right.
Right.
So like you're saying, they become really good at it.
And I think that it benefits the fans in most cases. Totally. You know, the NBA one has, there's some issues with that because you don't necessarily want to say to a big man, like, hey, you don't even have to worry about foul shots. We'll handle it for you.
Yeah.
But like in general, you want players to be good at things. Like, that's why I'm in favor of the DH, because I don't really get much enjoyment out of watching a guy who hits 190 hit.
Yeah.
So I'd rather see, you know, a good hitter. But I think in a lot of these cases, you could replace somebody who's bad at something with somebody who's good at something.
That's a great way to look at it. Mm-hmm.
Sports are good when people are good at sports. That's my main argument here.
Wow, that's like really zen.
Wow.
From
don't wanna,
the zen
don't
of
don't
want to
blow your minds too far here.
Ben, do you have like another crazy rule change, or
I don't have a specific sport I want to apply it to, but I really like the idea of the inning as a construct, like
okay.
The turn-based system, especially in extra innings where they automate, like both teams get a half an inning to do what they have to do. Football has sort of gone that way, whereas if one team kicks a field goal in overtime, the other team gets a chance. I don't know how that would be set up. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like PKs, too, in that way.
Yeah.
But I just think, you know, more turn-based things in general in sports would be good.
I agree. All sports should be much more like role-playing games.
Yeah, like board games.
Yeah, basically.
Exactly.
All right, Ben. Well, then what do you think is a rule from another sport that you would like to see baseball maybe attempt? I know that baseball is wonderful, but maybe it could be made even better by implementing some of these rules from other sports.
Yeah.
Ben, what do you have?
My number one is a jump ball. From basketball. So I was trying to think, first when I came up with this rule, I said, let's do a kickoff like football, where umpire just throws the ball to the field, and whichever team catches it gets to bat first.
Okay.
Instead of home team designation or whatever. But then I said, no, let's do it so when there's, you know, a really close play at a base, instead of, you know, trying to figure out who was safe, who if the throw beat him or not, jump ball. Umpire throws it up in the air, directly up in the air. Whoever catches it, you know, if the defender catches it, he's out. The runner's out. If the runner catches it, he's safe. I want to see that. That's the rule.
That's a fantastic idea, Ben. I would vote in favor of that rule.
I'm good to know.
Yeah. I agree.
It's a good playground rule, too.
It is.
So, you know, because obviously in Major League Baseball, we have instant replay and have all these things we can get it right. But as a playground rule, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're listening now, please, by all means, try this in your playground baseball leagues or softball leagues, and then tweet us how it went at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4cast, and let us know if you indeed think this was a successful rule to be implemented in your baseball and softball playing. Ian, what do you have?
I'd like to see the implementation of the penalty box in baseball. I think it's one of the funniest things in all of sports that, like, you know, you did something bad and now you have to go sit in timeout. We can all see you there and you have to take a slow, awkward walk over there and then later you have to come back. So for things like, you know, if a manager comes out and he argues for a while and it's not quite enough to eject him, but like it's more than the umpire deemed necessary, now he's got to go sit in the penalty box for an inning. you know, and he can say whatever he wants from there, but he's got to sit. I think it'd be like maybe, you know, in the stands kind of between like first base and the outfield or something.
Okay.
So he's kind of surrounded by the fans and like it's a long enough walk that we all get to see him shamefully, you know, hang out over there.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you could use it for players too. You know, there's not like that many situations in baseball where there's like physical altercations that would probably deserve that.
Yeah.
But, you know, if a player spikes someone else or something or that kind of thing, you know, it's deemed a violation, whatever, instead of maybe, you know, him getting beaned the next time up, he has to go sit in the penalty box for a while, which could lead to some, like, awkward things where you only have 8 fielders, which, you know, in itself could be more of a strategy. You know, we see so many shifts now anyway, like, what are you going to do with 2 outfielders or 3 infielders? Of course, people get really creative. But I mostly just like guys sitting there in timeout.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like maybe when a pitcher is done for the day, they should have to go sit there. And then, like, if they had a bad outing, they have to hear it and, and from the fans. And then if they had a good outing, they can, like, stand on the chair and, like, pound their chest.
Yes.
I feel like that would be a good
thing. I also like to incorporate the aspect of, like, the guy sprinting back out onto the field mid-play, like they do in hockey. Maybe, like, the penalty ends, you know, as soon as the ball's pitched. Yeah. So he has to sprint from the penalty box into his spot in center field, you know, while the play's going on.
That kind
of chaos. Just a small moment of chaos.
That's good. More chaos in general is a good thing.
I agree.
We have the author of our existentialism on Game Night series here, Ben. Yeah. And you obviously love chaos.
Yeah, I like that. That's a great idea.
Why are we even making rules, though? Does it even matter?
I mean, more rules that don't matter.
Yes. That's a good point. My rule that I would like to see baseball is, try, at least, is penalty kicks, or kicks from the spot, if you want to be esoteric about it, from soccer. What we would do is we would eliminate extra innings, or for those of us who like seeing 19-inning baseball kicks, which I do, you would set it maybe after 18 innings is when this takes place. And what you do is, it's a home run derby. Only the part of penalty kicks that I like is that everybody only gets one chance to put it in the net, and that's it, and then they have to go, and then the next player can come in and do it, and you only get one chance, and you only get to do it one time. Essentially, you can't, no matter what, you can't cycle back through and do it a second time unless everybody has done it. And so that's what I want to see. I want to see you get one swing to hit it out of the park. And each team takes turns. They pitch to each other, and you have to get 5 home runs to win the game. And then obviously, like with penalty kicks, if you know, you have to win by 2. So what part of the reason why I want to see this is, I want to see like an instance where one swing, oh no, they didn't make it, and now that continues to happen over and over and over again. Oh no, now the pitchers have to go. Oh no, now the manager has to go. Like, that's really what I want to see, is like total, again, chaos.
Yeah,
but it also ends with home runs, which everybody loves. And I fail to see any flaw in this plan.
Yeah, I think it's just go in depth. Like, you get the managers, then the coaching staff, then the front office, like then the stadium employees, and just down to the fans at the end.
That's the thing. I feel like that would be great.
It'd be great fan incentive, too.
Right. If you stick around for all 18 innings of this game, you might get to hit a home run.
Yeah, and if there's like a long rain delay in the middle, that increases your chances, because some people will leave for the rain delay, but no, not you. You're going to stick around because you can help the team win. And then that would be like a big highlight the next day. People would be replaying, oh, you know, so-and-so from Queens hit this home run.
Yeah, fan catch, no, fan home run.
Exactly. The only thing better than a fan catch is a fan home run.
I thought you were going to say that you'd like to see penalty kicks where they put the ball on the rubber and then you have to kick it past the catcher.
That would
also watch that.
Yeah. That would also be good. Pretty much anything with penalty kicks.
Yes.
And the other good thing about penalty kicks, as we learned in the World Cup, is sometimes managers will like sub in goalkeepers who are like penalty kick specialists. Well, yeah, it might not be a good thing. But like, that would be a great part of this, is like, oh, okay, well, I have my home run hitter on the bench, so let me put him into the matchup or whatever it is. Or like the pitcher, maybe the pitcher can't throw and hit, so you have to pick like so you could do that. I don't know. These are just the thoughts that are coming out. This is obviously not fully baked, but never, I don't think that should disqualify it from consideration from the Major League Baseball Rules Committee.
I was thinking about going with like a, you know, like a U.S. Open style. Isn't the golf U.S. Open where if it's a tie, they play another full 18 holes?
Yes. That's true, too.
If you're tied after 9, you play another full 9.
That would be good as well. I like that.
You get a lot of 18-inning games that way.
Yeah.
It's true. And then, you know, relief pitchers, we'll get to see more position players pitching throughout a season, which we all love.
Great.
Yep.
Yeah, even better. But unfortunately, now we're running out of time, so we're going to have to form all of this down into a singular tweet, 140 characters, that describes accurately and concisely the entire conversation that we've had today. Now, Ian, since you're writing it down, I'm going to make you go first. And Ben, I'm going to try to take your pen away from you. So, Ian,
what have you got? I don't know if it's going to be retweet worthy. You've got to cut me off.
A 140 character tweet.
Okay.
Summarizing the podcast, whenever you're ready, which is now.
Tied after 9 innings, LeBron's up first in the home run derby.
I like that.
That's a good tweet.
That's a good one. I like that one. All right. I'll retweet that.
Wow.
You've earned a retweet. Honored. You have at least honored. One. It'll help your cloud score.
Thank you.
All right, Ben, what have you got?
Mine is more straightforward. I'm going to go Tim Lincecum at Wimbledon. Hashtag no rules.
I don't like the hashtag no rules. Is that with a Z?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It doesn't matter if it's a Z or an S.
What's the point?
Why are we even here?
I know. It's not like it's substantial. It's not like you can see it. It just goes out into the ether. Okay, my tweet. 2016 American League MVP, comma. Walk-off home run derby leader, Sidney LaRue. Sidney LaRue Dwyer.
Brought it.
Sidney LaRue Dwyer.
Don't forget Tom Dwyer.
There we go.
Brought it full circle there.
I did. That's what we do here on the Cup Forecast, is bring it full circle. And you listening right now can also bring it full circle by tweeting us at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast, your very own summaries of this podcast, which will likely be, I don't watch soccer and didn't understand anything you said, which is totally fine because, you know, soccer, we Americans, we don't really watch it.
That was actually my first tweet that I wrote down.
That would have been a good one to use. Yes.
Well, Falcao's a superstar, Dakota told you. Now you know one thing.
Yeah, there you go. The one thing to know about soccer is that Falcao is great, no matter what. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Thank you so much for listening. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can click the little subscription button, and then we'll magically appear in your phone or listening device. You can follow us on Twitter at Cut4. You can like us on Facebook. We're Cut4 there. Or you can go straight to our website, straight to the horse's mouth, MLB.com/Cut4, and you can read all of our content there and presumably enjoy it, although I'm not going to promise anything. And I believe that's it. That's all the time that we have today. Yeah, Ian, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
And Ben, thank you for joining
me. Of course.
I enjoyed our conversation. And you listening right now, thank you for joining me. And we will talk to you next week.
All right.
Happy birthday, Yaya Toure.